We'll read this together. Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1. See how easy I made that for you? 37:1. Amen. What page is it on, anybody? Are you ready?
Ready.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord, you know. That's probably the best answer in all of Scripture. O Lord, you know. And he said, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. Father, I love this passage. I thank you for this passage. And I pray, God, tonight, some way, somehow, you would help me to deliver and to preach and to declare, Lord, to decree some things about this passage, Lord, and about this church and about this city and about this county and about this state, oh God. Lord, that you would see fruit following your word as it goes forth tonight. Not because I said anything about it, but because your spirit has anointed it and because, Lord, you have directed it and set it forth to do exactly what you have called it to do. And Lord, for that, I thank you and give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn around, slap somebody a high five before you sit down. Thank you. do I ever get inspiration. Hey, how many more high fives are you guys going to slap back there for crying out loud? How many of you want to see revival? Can I just tell you a little something about revival? It's messy. Revival's messy. Revival's uncomfortable. During revival, people will sit in your seat. It's true. It's true. People will beat you to church to sit in your seat. They'll take your parking spot, which I noticed some of you thought that this tent was put up specifically as a garage for you. That is not the case. It did work. It did work. There's some backing up skills in this place. I can see that. I really don't know how much candy you want little man to have over there, but he is having a good time with the candy machine. Just saying. Yes, little man is having his way with the candy machine, and I think that's his second trip. I don't know how much you want him to have tonight. I'm just saying. I know what that much candy would do to me. Whoa! I'd be having revival. Oh! Ezekiel told the people the Lord's promise to restore the land and to regenerate His people. How many of you think God's people need a little regeneration? We need a little regeneration in our life. We need to be regenerated. And when the wind starts to blow, but what about the nation itself? It was a nation that was divided. It was Israel and Judah, and without a king, and they were without a temple. And there was a remnant that would return to the ravaged land. You know what sometimes I think? Being here in the front, both of you. I think sometimes in a passage of Scripture like this that we could be something of the remnant that come back to this city to bring revival. Because we were gone for a long, long time. And there was prophecy given. Your dad used to pray all the time for revival in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, and that we would be a part of it, and then we all left. But guess what? We're back. And I believe sometimes, well, every time I think about this kind of stuff, I feel like that we are a part of a remnant that came back to see the prophecy fulfilled of revival in South County, Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Amen. I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart. I know that revival is taking place in hearts, individual hearts and lives. I know that revival is taking place. I know that God is doing a new thing. He's doing things different than He ever has before. Well, at least to us. His plan and purpose has always been the same, but it's not the method, it's the message and how that message comes forth. God uses things different. God does things different. He'll impart things to you in ways different than He did to me. I got saved mowing hay. Hello. Making cow chow. Horse fodder. I did everything I could to throw my evangelist off the tractor. But lucky for him, he ate all my chicken wings and got all the strength he needed to hang on. Wing and a prayer, baby. So I'm that was a good one right there. That was good. So you can think of it in this way, that in 1990 or 1991, revival started in Myrtle Creek and me. And revival always spreads. Revival spreads. And there would be a remnant that would return to the ravaged land. Listen, this place is different, Mike. I think you guys would agree that this place is different than when we left. When we left, it was really a kind of a thriving place. There was a lot going on in Myrtle Creek. All the stores in Myrtle Creek weren't deserted. They are now, for the most part. I remember growing up here, we had an 88-cent store. We had a Golden Rule. We had an S&H Green Stamp store. I ain't even kidding you right now. I used to lick them stamps until my tongue would stick to the roof of my mouth from the glue. Some of you wish that would happen tonight. It ain't going to happen. We had a Golden Rule store. We had a Western Auto. Well, I mean, we had a Chevy dealership and a Ford dealership, Weintraut Ford. What'd you say? That'd have been Franklin. I thought he was dead. Maybe not. The churches were full. We had an indoor movie theater, the Rio. I'm telling you, this was a happening little place. And there was a remnant that would return to the ravaged land and rebuild. We're not going to rebuild the temple, but we are going to do our best to build his church in the city. But none of the blessings that Ezekiel prophesied and promised were going to come to them at that time. The prophet Ezekiel was looking way down the road. He was looking to today. He was looking to a time like this. He was looking down the corridor of time to the end of the age when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the man that was sitting at the well this morning, when he would in fact return and claim his people. He's coming back for a people. Ezekiel didn't go on a hike that day. He didn't take an Uber. He didn't take a Greyhound bus. The Spirit of the Lord snatched him up. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I think that would be about awesome. To just get caught up. Isn't that what it says? The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. Woo! What a rush. Wow. Wow. That'd be a good time. He found himself in a valley. Now listen. He wasn't on a mountaintop. He was not in a place of victory. In fact, due to the evidence on the ground, it was a place of defeat. He wasn't on a mountaintop. He wasn't in a place of victory, but he was in a valley full of very dry bones. You hunters out there, ever come across the remnants of a carcass that's been laid out in the sun for a while? Bleached white, dry, no life in them. The ants and the spiders and the insects and the, you know, the possums and the raccoons and all those critters have eaten all the life out of the center of the bone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's this bunch of bones. It looked, you know what, do this for me, no cheating. Close your eyes. No cheating. Close your eyes. Tim, close your eyes. What in the world? Marcia. Now, I want you to picture in your mind's eye this valley full of bleached out, dry, white bones. It's a mess. It's devastation. It looked completely hopeless. It looked complete. It probably even at one point, not this day because it's already transpired, but it probably smelled hopeless. And as he looked upon that vast field, that valley full of bleached out white dry bones, it had to feel hopeless. And yet God has the audacity to speak to the man of God and say to him, "Man of God, can these bones live?" No way. You can open your eyes, so I don't want y'all going to sleep on me. Everybody's, I saw Laverne, Marsha, wake him up. Good Lord. No sleeping in church, sir. I don't care if you are 93, all right? It's not nap time. I love our family. I'm just saying. You couldn't do that in every church. But we can in our church because we love each other. Amen. These guys, she all right? Nope. See ya. It was the vision. I want for you to get the picture in your mind of these dry bones, and then I want for you to hear the absurdity in the voice of God as he asked the most ridiculous question ever. Son of man, can these bones live? I don't think Ezekiel thought about it for a long time. I don't think he pondered it. You know, I don't think he was twiddling his thumbs and wringing his hands and stressing about it. He just looked at God and he said, "Oh Lord, you know." You want to talk about a classic example of passing the buck? So I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know." And he was right. He was right. Sometimes all you and I can say is, "Lord, you know. Lord, you know. You know how dry it's been? You know how tired I am? You know how long it's been since I've felt your touch and felt your presence and felt the overwhelmingness of the anointing of God as it comes down and rests upon us. You know, Lord." But church, when the wind starts to blow, When the wind starts to blow, when the Spirit of God begins to move again, church, dead things come alive. Your prayer is going to be answered. You just hang on to it. Do you know what tenacity is? Huh? Close your eyes. Picture a pit bull. Picture a T-bone steak in that pit bull's mouth. His jaws are clenched on it, and you're trying to rip it out of his mouth. Ain't happening. That's tenacity. You know what perseverance is? What's perseverance? I can describe it. Yes, I can. Perseverance is like wrestling with a gorilla. You don't quit when you get tired. You quit when the gorilla gets tired. And you better persevere, buddy. You better persevere. You better fight like you're the last monkey on the ramp into the ark, and baby, it's starting to rain. I didn't know I had that many good ones left in me, but you know what? That's all right. When the wind starts to blow, when the Spirit of God begins to move, when dead things begin to come alive, when cold hearts catch on fire again, when a valley full of dead, dry, bleached out white bones begins to rattle together. I wish I'd have been thinking. I'd have brought some deer horns in here and rattled them. That would have sounded better if my fingers would have been really, really hard, like bones. That's the idea. Work my fingers to the bone, and what do I get? Bony fingers. All right. Boy, I have got a lot of help in my preaching tonight. This valley of dry bones became an army of believers. And verse 2 points out the fact that these bones, it says, behold, they were very dry. They weren't just a little bit dry. They were very dry. They were dry. Have you ever heard the expression dry as a bone? Wonder where that came from. Dry as a bone. Probably goes back to Ezekiel chapter 37. It was a bunch of very dry bones. The reason why it keeps talking about dry bones is because the point that he's trying to make is that there was no life in them. Go to the New Testament, to the story of Lazarus and his sister said, Lord, if you'd have just been here on time. On time don't matter when you ain't wearing a watch. And he wasn't wearing a watch. And he says, well, show me where he's at. So they go to the tomb. And he says, open it up. And she's like, oh no, we ain't doing that. Why not? He's been in there for 4 days and he stinketh. Stinketh, that's King James. He stinketh. Listen, culturally, what they're talking about culturally, because you've got to tie the culture in with what's being said. And they weren't really considered graveyard dead for 4 days. Day one, day two, day three, maybe not dead. Day four, he gone. Didn't know that, did you? Day four, he's dead. Jesus had to wait. He wasn't early. He wasn't late. He was spot on time. He was on time. He had to wait for 4 days so that everybody that knew what had happened, they could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Lazarus was dead. And he says, open it up. And they're like, no way, man. He's been in there for 4 days. He stinketh. In 4 days, he has decayed. His body has began literally to break down and come apart. I mean, all the things that you can think about in your mind had been happening in Lazarus, and Jesus stands at the door and he said, Lazarus! Lazarus said, what? My story, I'll make it up however I want to. You know how we know he answered him? Because Jesus answered him back. He said, come forth. Lazarus said, be right there. Listen, he wasn't doing this number. He didn't come sauntering out like he was, you know, on a... You know why he come out like this? Because he was all bound up. He was wrapped up. They had prepared him for burial. He was wrapped from the top of his head to his feet. He couldn't walk out. He had to hop out. You know how I know that? Because the Bible said when he come out, Jesus commanded them, loose him and let him go. See, anybody could be a preacher. Could have happened. Could have happened. Listen, I have no idea where I'm at in my notes, but he didn't just see bones. He saw very dry bones. Very dry bones. Spiritually, it's where I start getting ugly, so if you don't like it, lock the door. Don't want anybody leaving. You ushers, go guard the door. Spiritually, it's where many churches are today. Well, we don't. Settle down. Because we have been in a few of them, but I can get uglier, okay? Spiritually, it's where many churches are. Spiritually, it's where many believers are. Spiritually, it's where we can end up if we're not careful. If we're not staying at the well, drinking from the well. So what is it then that dry bones represent? Glad you asked. Dry bones represent, I should have listed these. Hey, hang on to the camera, buddy. I'll do the preaching. Dry bones represent dry hearts that have lost passion. Lost passion. The Bible talks about returning to your first love. Remember when you first fell in love with Jesus. Remember how that relationship with him was. And go back and think about that for a moment. It dry bones represent dry hearts that have lost passion. Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hand. Don't elbow nobody. Don't look at nobody. Just look to the front of this building or look at me, okay? Have any of you ever been called a sourpuss? You're just a sourpuss. Do you know that God's word says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? Do you know what follows that? But a broken spirit dries up the bone. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, when you've been hammered, when you've been pounded, when you've been ridiculed, when you've been humiliated, when you've been beat down over and over and over again, you start to begin to look within yourself, you get in your head, you begin to think things that maybe nobody's even thinking but you, and you begin to think about those things, and you begin to start drying up. You begin to become reclusive. You begin to isolate. You begin to shut down. You've lost your joy. If I could be totally honest today, sometimes I struggle with that because I like to be a pretty happy, upbeat kind of guy. I really do. I always like to be making people smile. But you know what? There's some days that I'm not that guy. Some days I just feel the pressure. Bill talked about it. He's gone. I don't know where he went. He gone. But he talked about it the Sunday that you guys all humiliated me. I'm thankful that you love me. I really, truly am. But that is Sunday night, I'm just going to tell you, uncomfortable. I felt about as out of place as a milk bucket under a bull. Now you think about that for a moment. That's out of place. But I'm grateful for your love. I really am. But sometimes you do feel that weight, you do feel that pressure, and you do, if you're not careful, you'll allow the doom and gloom that's around you to begin to affect you and begin to block out the joy that the Lord has for us. And so I always try and think of the joy of the Lord, because I want to be strong. I want to make people happy. When people get around me that maybe they're having a bad day, I when I go to work, I'm grinning like a mule eating cactus. I'm smiling. I'm doing all the I do crazy things. You know what I did? Some of you have seen my truck. It's pink, hot pink. Man, I look good in that thing. I ain't even kidding you. I painted my hard hat hot pink. It matches almost perfectly. I have a pink coffee cup. I have a pink water bottle. And when they see me with all that stuff, they're like, man, that guy is nuts. And they're right. I am. But you can't believe the opportunities that brings me, because I'm just about a half a bubble off a plum. Some of you won't know what that means, but trust me, it's true. Dry hearts have lost their passion. If you've lost your passion, if your heart has... How many of you have ever seen fruit that's dehydrated? Prunes, raisins. A raisin is just... A grape that's lost its hydration, it's become dry. It's lost. A prune is just a plum that somebody sucked all the life out of it. It's true. I'm glad we thought about that, guys, because it's so true. You don't want to be a prune. Stop it. Don't make me come back there, Dennis. Stop it. Do you see what? Dry hearts that have lost their passion. How about this? How about dry worship that's become a routine? What about worship that's just become some level of formality because, hey, we've opened in prayer, we got to have some music because the preacher's going to preach pretty quick and we always have the music. What if I just step to the pulpit one Sunday morning and just begin to preach and then we have worship? What about something like that? It would freak everybody out. They'd be like, what the heck? Everything's out of order. I don't know what in the world to do. What do dry bones represent? They represent dry hearts that have lost their passion, dry worship that's become routine, and how about this? Dry faith that has forgotten what our God can do. What about a faith that we've lost, we forgot what God can do? God took a whole valley of dead, dried out bones, made an army. He called a guy that was clinically and ceremonially and culturally dead for 4 days in the and called him out. And when they unwrapped him, he didn't stinketh. He didn't do any of that stuff because of faith. A faith that has forgotten what God can do. What can God do? God can do anything. You know why? Because he's God. He can do anything. Here's what I think we need to do. I think it's what we need to see. We need to see that God doesn't show Ezekiel this valley to discourage him. If he didn't show it to discourage him, why then did he show it? Glad you asked. He showed him this valley so that he could declare his power. Son of man, can these bones live? Smart man. Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Takes it a step further and he said, listen, prophesy to the wind. What? Speak. Prophecy is speaking forth something that hasn't happened yet, but you believe by faith that it's going to happen. And he says, prophesy that breath will come. And he began to prophesy to the four winds, the north, south, east, and west. And he said, prophesy that the winds would come, and they did. Wow. He declared his power. You might even find yourself today in a dry place, but I want you to know that we serve a God that can send the wind. Wakey, wakey. God can... You ever... Isn't it interesting that when we was in school and you were breathing like a buffalo because you just run, you know, all them up and down the field, and maybe you're in the wrestling room and you're just completely exhausted and you're gasping for breath, or maybe you're deer hunting and you just climbed out of some deep dark canyon and you're looking anywhere you can find a breath. Now you can just take it out of your backpack and go, have a hit of air. That's what I was talking about. Oh, you had to write it. You want some crayons? Color you a little picture. You're welcome. That might cost me. Listen, when God begins to send, how many of you know a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? That's why I try and make things a little humorous. Because it's right after we laugh that I hit you with the truth. And the truth is, if we're not getting the wind, you can get wind out of that can that we were just talking about. But if you don't have the breath of God filling your lungs, we're in real trouble. Verse 4. Ezekiel 37 and verse 4. Again. He says again because he said it before. And he says, again, he said to me, prophesy to the bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. They are dead. Man, I'm glad you guys are sharp. Because they're dead. Let's take it to the next level. They didn't even have ears. Did they? Did they, Bible scholars? They did not have ears. You know how I know? Because they were just bones. The ears had done long since been ate off of them by some critter. Some possum come along and ate that thing. Chewed it, gnawed it right off the side of that skull. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't have any ears. How in the world then can he prophesy to these bones and say to them, hear the word of the Lord? Listen, God's answer to the dryness wasn't some newfangled program. It was a word. It was a prophetic word, and he spoke under the authority and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God, and he began to speak to a valley full of dry bones, and he prophesied. God's answer wasn't a new program. It was his word, and the word of God still has power today. The word of God still has power. Work myself into a thirst. I'm gonna have this all over me. I spilled it on me one other time. That was not funny. I'm not telling nobody nothing. You. When we start speaking God's word into our valleys, when we begin to speak God's word into our valleys, things will begin to shift. Things will begin to shift. And truly, it's worth pointing out here that when he said, "Prophesy, son of man," Ezekiel doesn't argue. He doesn't argue. He doesn't even go so far as to begin to analyze. Bill, in ministry, you're going to have to caution and guard yourself that you don't analyze everything clear out of being spiritual. Because we can do that. People with business and administrative bends in who God has made them to be, if we're not careful, we can administrate everything right out of the spiritual. And we can never lose what sometimes the Spirit will draw you and have you doing things that doesn't make sense in the administrative rules. I had a treasurer in the church in Utah, and he was a CPA, had all kinds of degrees, and he was a great guy. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And I remember when we started the building program down there, and I can remember seeing it in the room that we were in, and I can remember looking across the table at my desk at Phil and talking about the astronomical amount of money that we were about to sign my name to. And Phil said, "Pastor, there's no way we can do that. There's no way." And I just looked back at him across the table and said, "Good." And he said, "Good?" And I said, "Yeah, good." Because Mike and I and others had already talked about this a lot. And we had come to the realization that if we can make it, because an accountant, that lower right-hand corner, is important to an accountant. Because that's where the bottom figure is. That's where the bottom line is. And I said to him, I said, "Phil, if we can do all the things and make that line down there come out in the black, which is what they want," I said, "there's no faith involved in that, because we did it." But I said, "when it's so far out of our reach like it is, we have to activate our faith. We've got to step out in faith. We've got to believe that the God that we serve, that has led us to this place, will provide and make a way." And I can tell you today, and Mike will vouch for me, my daughter back there will vouch for us, we never were late on anything, and we were paying over $19,000 a month just to be in the building. And we didn't have any more people basically on a Sunday morning than we have in this house. $19,000 a month. And we weren't late. We didn't miss payments. God just showed up because we believed. God's word still has power. And Ezekiel didn't argue. He didn't begin to analyze. You know what he did? He obeyed. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. I didn't argue with God. I didn't say, oh God, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know how this. He said, I spoke. I prophesied. I did what God had called me to do. I prophesied as I was commanded. That's faith. That's faith. To speak life when all you can see is death. That's faith. I mean, that's, you're nuts kind of faith. That what are you talking about? Somebody get him some medicine, because he's talking crazy. It is kind of crazy what our God can do. It'll confound the wise. To speak life when all that you can see is death, that's faith. Man, I am so far out of time. Why'd you take so long in worship? What in the world? Do you know what? Listen. Listen to me. The Bible said there was a noise. There was a noise. Anybody ever heard a noise? You ever hear that noise and you're like, I don't know what that noise is.
Bill, go find out what that is. Bill says, you...
rock, paper, scissors. Listen, the Bible said there was a noise. There was a rattling. Don't you know? Yes, ma'am. Yes, worship activates faith. Listen. You love her. You love her so much. She loves you so much. Don't go away mad. There was a noise. There was a rattling. Something started to move. Something started to move. Because when God's word is released, I don't have to get up early in the morning, so I'm just taking my time. I want you to get this. And if you have to get up early, I'm going to pray that God will give you rest tonight beyond the natural. I know He will. He's done it for me for the last 50 years. Well, probably not 50 years. At least 35 of them since I've been in ministry. But when God's word is released, it shakes what has been still, and it joins what has been separated, and it begins to rebuild what has been broken. Don't give up in the noise. Don't give up in the noise. The noise is simply a sign that something is beginning to move. Something is beginning to happen. There's something in the spiritual because of this noise, this rattling, this shaking. Something is moving. Don't give up in the noise. Verse 9 says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. See, it was the word that formed them, but it was the wind that filled them. It was the word. He spoke to them. to come together, and they came together, but it was the wind that filled them. The wind represents the Holy Spirit. In fact, the same Spirit that moved over the waters in Genesis that filled, it was the same water that filled the upper room. It was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it's the same Spirit that moves today. Church, he ain't changed. We did. We have. I got to hurry up. Sorry. Wow. It's a rough crowd. Listen. Ezekiel saw those bones come together. Put yourself in the desert with Ezekiel and begin to picture in your mind's eye them bones coming together. What in the world? Wow. I mean, this is borderline crazy. This is where faith has to step in, or you're lost. He saw the bones come together, but there was no life. They stood before him, a dead army. Because form without breath is just a corpse. Form without breath is just a corpse. I remember when we were coming off the fire, Mike, up the North River, and we come down around that corner. I looked off to the side of the road, and there was a whole outcropping of rocks. And right in the middle of this pile of rocks was a skeleton sitting there with his arm like this, a full-on skeleton. And he's sitting there like that. I about wrecked the pickup. I'm like, no. Actually, I did. It's on my phone, so I'll find it. It was amazing. But without breath, it was just a corpse. You listen. Let me. I've been picking on you. I'll pick on me. We can have good sermons. We can have good sermons. We can even have great music, and I think we do have fantastic worship in this church. I believe that with all of my heart. I think every once in a while, even the preacher gets it right. I really do. We can have good sermons, great music. We can even have full pews. But without the breath of the Spirit, there is no life. There is no life. So Ezekiel begins to speak to the wind. Oh, come, O breath. And when the wind started to blow, they began to live. That's revival. When the breath of God begins to blow on a bunch of old dry bones, man, that's revival. I don't know if anybody of you have ever noticed, but up until about 4 months ago, I didn't do much running. I just did a whole lot of walking around, and I got up really slow. Oh. But now, if you notice, even tonight, in fact, I got my boots all muddy. Little rats. Watch yourself, pal. I'm coming for you. Yeah, you know who I'm talking to. And I can run. I can just run all over everywhere, chasing them little grippers around. And I love it. You know why? Because I got some life in me again. And it feels pretty good. Feels pretty good to have a little life. I'm not weighted down with a bunch of excess. I'm not saying to anything to anybody except me. I'm using me as an example. It's what happens when the Spirit of God begins to move. Hearts begin to soften. Hearts begin to soften. Worship begins to rise. People begin to repent. Joy returns and power fills the church again. Glory to God. Verse 10, chapter 37. So I prophesied. Oh my goodness. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And what started out as a valley filled with a bunch of old dead dry bones became a living, standing army, ready to do battle for the glory of God. That's the miracle of revival. God does not just restore life. He restores your purpose. He gives you purpose again in your life. I'm all dried up. I'm older than dirt by about 2 days. Don't make any difference. When the breath of God begins to blow on you, and when you begin to feel the Spirit of God welling up inside of you, you won't be concerned about how you ache in the morning. You won't be concerned about how you feel. You'll just be saying, God, here I am. Use me today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Send me out amongst them, Lord God, that I might be a witness. That's the miracle of revival. He restores purpose, not just life. Listen, he doesn't just make you alive again. Listen to me. He does not just make you alive again. He makes you useful. He makes you useful. He wants to use you. The same bones that were scattered are now standing together, shoulder to shoulder, ready for battle. Man, I wish I'd have brought my army thing tonight. Great time to read it right here. I blew it. You know what I'm talking about. I read it to the church down at the men in Utah when Mike and I was there for revival, for whatever we was there for. That thing. An army. An army. He doesn't. This ain't going to be fun. God does not revive us to be comfortable. Hello? God does not revive us to make us comfortable. He revives us to make us courageous. To make us courageous. Church, when the wind starts to blow, and when dead dreams begin to breathe, and when them old cold hearts begin to burn, when weak believers become warriors, it's because the wind of the Holy Spirit has begun to blow on the hearts of people. Church is not called to be a museum. The church is not called to be a museum for the saints. Church, he's not called us to sit around, talk about how good it was back in the old days. Remember those days, Mike? Remember when them kids would all be under the pews? Remember when we'd have altars filled with... Remember those days? Listen, the church is not called to be a place of remembering what God did then. The church is a place where God wants to breathe on some people. He wants to begin to light a fire under your dead, dry bones, and he wants to begin to breathe some life back into some people that we'll have our own story, that you guys, that you young fellas in the back will begin to say, you can't believe what happened back in 2025 in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. The Spirit of the Lord fell in the church that we was going to when I was just a kid, and I saw some stuff you ain't even gonna believe. Because life begets life. And death begets death. Yeah. Listen. We're called to be an army for our Savior. You're not on a cruise ship. I like cruise ships. Don't get me wrong. I like a good cruise ship. They're not conducive for weight loss. Just saying. But buddy, you can eat pie all day long. If you want steak, you can eat steak all day long. You can eat ever what you want all day long on a cruise ship. But you're not on a cruise ship. You're on a battleship. And as soon as you figure that out, you're going to be far ahead in the game. This is a battleship. We are in an army. We are warriors for the Lord. Tonight, maybe you feel like you're standing in a valley. Maybe tonight you feel dry, tired, and empty. God is asking again tonight, can these bones live? Your bones can live again. Your bones can live again. One touch. One touch from the Master. Everything changes. God's still asking, can these bones live? All these thousands of years later, church, it's my great honor to tell you tonight, the answer's still yes. The answer's still yes. Ray, the answer is still yes. He can still use you today. The answer, young lady, is still yes. He's not done with you. You can sit in the back all you want. Don't make any difference. He ain't done with you. He's going to call you forth. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. The answer is still yes. If you'll speak His word and welcome His wind, He'll do what only He can do. Don't get weary in well-doing. You're praying for loved ones. Some of you are praying for loved ones and you haven't seen them budge. You've made marks on the floor. You've made marks on the ground. You've done all these things. Seeing, is my person getting any closer to the Lord? And you're not seeing any movement. Don't give up. Don't get wary in well-doing. Hold the faith. Keep praying, keep believing, because they're dead, dry bones. But when the Spirit of the Lord begins to blow on them, and maybe it's blown by them, but when it blows on them, things are going to begin to change. Speak His word, welcome His Holy Spirit, and watch what He can do that only He can do. Let the wind blow again in your heart. Let the wind blow like never before in this church, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit blow in this church. Because when the wind begins to blow, everything changes. Everything changes. Bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit, I've been really, really long-winded here tonight, and I apologize to those that have to get up or have children that have to get up. But God, I felt Your anointing in this place tonight, and You didn't just give me this word for some little cute sermon to preach. God, you asked me to declare Your word. I've declared it tonight. Lord, let Your wind play some Holy Ghost song. Play some Holy Ghost song. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, blow in this place. Holy Spirit, let Your wind begin to sweep across this congregation.